For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
It is June the 15th. We are on page 458. 458. We are up to the top of the page, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, verse 31. We're going to try to do this paragraph tonight in our abridged learning. V'yasisa parochas. You shall make a parochas. A parochas is a curtain. This is going to be the curtain that's going to divide between the Kodesh, which is the sanctuary, the holy, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary. This is going to be that parochas, that curtain. What are their materials for the parochas? They are techeles, ve'argamon, ve'solas, shani, three types of wool dyed in three different ways. That's with the blue dye, the purple dye, and the red dye. Vishesh mashazar, and also spun linen as well. So you have those four materials all together. Shatnez is only a problem if you wear it. This is not being worn. It's not being worn. There's a curtain. Maaseh choshev, the way that it's done is the process of weaving, which means that there's going to be a design that's going to be different on either side. It's not sewn, but woven. And the design is, Yaseh so kruvim, you should make it kruvim cherubs. The design that they would make is kruvim as cherubs. This material is the same as what we've had already. Anybody remember? Well, this is the parochas.
The carvings over the...
Okay, so the lowest covering of the... Remember, there were at least three, maybe four coverings over the Mishkan. The lowest one had the same materials. It was the three types of wool and also the linen mixed in as well. It was done the same way. It was woven and not sewn. It was the same material. So now the curtain is made the same way. Now where are you going to put this curtain? V'nasato esal arba'a amudei shitim. You shall place it on four wooden poles, pillars. Mitzupim zahav, that are plated in gold. Vavehem zahav. Their vavim, their hooks, are also made of gold. Alar ba'a and mechazef, on four silver, what are those things called?
Sockets.
Thank you. Four silver sockets. So recall in the last class we talked about how there are a total of 100 sockets. Last time we had 96 of them, and here's the other four for a total of 100. So these four poles stand independently, unlike the poles that are the walls. Like the pillars of the walls, they are kind of attached to each other. These are four independently standing poles or pillars, and each one sits in its own silver socket. Now, the hooks are called vavim. I'm sure one of these will work. The hooks are called vavim. You know that the letter Vav, I am terrible at this, but we will try our best. The letter Vav is something like this. Okay, that's beautiful. That's the letter Vav. The letter Vav is a hook. Right. If you invert it, it's going to be absolutely impossible. That was already all that I could possibly do. So if you invert it, all right, not too great. Anyway, if you invert it, you get a hook. We're going to erase this because... But you get the idea. So you have... Therefore, the Torah calls a hook a vav. Literally the letter vav. The Gemara derives from here that the letter vav that we have today is exactly the same shape as the letter vav that the Torah is talking about.
Right.
Because the Torah refers to a hook as a vav.
Right.
And therefore, the shape of the vav that we have is the same shape that the Torah was given with. So the hooks, which are called vavim, and this will not be the only place that we have the term hook referred to as a vav, they are made of gold on these four wooden but gold-plated poles that sit in silver sockets. And that's where you're going to hang the parochas. The curtain will be hung on these hooks, these four poles with hooks. Pasuk Lamego, verse 33. Where are you going to put the four poles with the hooks and the curtain? You'll put them under the clasps. You'll recall that the lowest level, really the, not only the lowest level, but the second to lowest level as well, of coverings of the Mishkan were, you had these various strips of material that were sewn together. But then you had two very large coverings, which were then, they were loops at the very edges that were held together by golden clasps. So you're going to put the parochas directly under the clasps. This supports one of the opinions we talked about. We're not going to go back through the whole thing now, but you will recall that when we talked about the coverings of the Mishkan, there were two different opinions about exactly how it was placed. How low it was placed on the back and how low on the sides, how far in the front it went, etc. Well, depending on which opinion you hold over there, where will those clasps be? Because the clasps were at a very specific place. And the Gemara tells us that the clasps ended up being at the, from the back of the Mishkan, moving towards the front, they were 10 amos. The entire Mishkan was 30 amos long. At the 10 amma point where the clasps were, and that's where the parochas then hung. So the parochas divided up the Mishkan into two parts. One part was 10 amos by 10 amos. The other part was 20 amos by 10 amos. So it was at the two-thirds, one-third point in the Mishkan. That's where the parochas hung to separate. So the Kodesh, the sanctuary, the holy, was the larger room. That was 20 amos by 10 amos. And then the Kodesh HaKadosh, and the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctuary, was half that size. It was 10 amos by 10 amos. It was a square room. So you're going to place them under the kerasim, under the clasps. That's where you're going to put this parochas. Ve'vesa shama mibesa parochas, and you should bring there from the house to the parochas, which means you're moving from outside into the Mishkan, and then when you're in the Mishkan, you're going to go through the curtain into the inner sanctuary. Eis Aron Ha'idus. You're going to bring the Aron. You're going to bring the Ark of the Testimony. V'ivdila parochas lachem, and the parochas, the curtain will separate for you. Bein Hakodesh. Between the holy, uvein kodesh hakadoshim, and between the holy of holies. I want to emphasize to you that that until now, the two rooms were not referred to as the holy and the holy of holies. We had a large room. The room was 30 by 10. That was before you hung the curtain. The room, from a bird's eye view, was 30 by 10. That's what it was. Then you hung the parochas at the one-third point, two-thirds point. So now you have an area that's 10 by 10, an area that's 20 by 10, the larger one than the smaller one. The Torah does not yet refer to them as the holy and the holy of holies. Then the Torah says, take the ark, bring the ark from this area here, from the outer area, into this room. And then it says that the curtain will now separate for you between the holy and the holy of holies. What now gives the rooms the names, the holy and the holy of holies?
The ark.
When the ark is inserted into this room, now we have a clear distinction between the sanctity of the rooms. Until now we just had a curtain. The curtain doesn't create sanctity. What creates the sanctity? The bringing of the ark, of the Aron, into the inner sanctum, into the inner room. makes the inner room now an elevated status. So the inner room is now the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Holy of Holies. The outer room is the Kodesh, is the Holy. That is because the bringing in of the Ark to the inner room. Now, we know that the Ark went here. I'm going to draw a rudimentary picture of the Ark. There's a beautiful picture of the Ark. Okay. Now, that's where the Ark went. What about the other utensils of the Mishkan?
They went to Kodesh.
Okay, they're in here. Now, where do they go? Listen, look at the next verse. We're going to see exactly where everything goes. V'samta es ha-shulchan mi-chutz la-parochas. You shall place the table outside the curtain. So outside the curtain means in the holy. But does it say where you should put it?
No.
It just says put it in this room. It doesn't say where in the room. Then it says ve'et ha-menorah, and the menorah nochach ha-shulchan goes across from the shulchan. So far we still have a problem because we don't know where the table goes. So you know, tell me the menorah is across from the table. But where's the table? Mm-hmm. Somewhere in this room. So put the, right now it seems arbitrary, put the table wherever you wish in that room, and then put the menorah across from it. But then the Torah says, Al tzela ha-mishkan teimana, on the side of the mishkan in the south. That's where the menorah goes. Now shulchan and the table, titein al tzela tzafon, you should put on the northern side. So, we now know that the menorah goes on the south. Okay, there's the menorah on the south, and the table goes across from the menorah. There's your table, across from the menorah on the north. But notice how the Torah tells it to us. Fascinating. The Torah says, take the table and put it in this room. It doesn't tell you where. Then it says, take the menorah, put it across from the table. Where? On the south side.
Oh, yeah.
And then it says, put the table on the north side. Could you think of a more convoluted way of saying that? Isn't that not convoluted?
Yeah.
Why couldn't the Torah just say, take the table, put it on the north side, take the menorah, put it on the south side? Wouldn't that have been very clear? Instead, it says, let's step by step. Take the three, how many steps does this take? Take the table, put it in the room.
Right.
One. Take the menorah, put it across from the table. Two. Where? On the south side. And put the table on the north side. Four steps, or it could have said it in two steps. Put the table on the north, put the menorah on the south. I think I could have done a much better job, don't you think?
Give credit for each one.
What's that?
You give credit for each one.
Okay, give credit for each one. So here we have the Torah emphasizing the relationship between the table and the menorah. Torah says, take the table and put it in the room. But it doesn't have a place in the room. It's somewhere in the room. Where? Not clear. You don't know where to put it yet, because the table by itself does not really have its own existence. Take the menorah, put it across from the table. Once you have the menorah and the table, which are corresponding to each other, now they have a place. Put the menorah in the south, put the table in the north. When mentioning putting them in the room, the table is mentioned first. The shulchan is mentioned first. When discussing where to put them in the room, the menorah is mentioned first. The menorah goes in the south, table goes in the north. What does the menorah represent?
The light of
Torah. Torah. The menorah represents Torah. What does the shulchan, the table, represent? Okay, food, sustenance.
Yeah.
It represents material wealth, material gain. We know the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Yochanan Mendoza says, It's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But anyway, he says, Im ein kemach, if you don't have kemach means flour, F-L-O-U-R. If there's no flour, which means there's no bread, ain Torah, then there's no Torah. You can't have the study of Torah without a way of having sustenance in this world. But then the Mishnah goes on to say, Yimein Torah, if there's no Torah, ain kemach, then there's no flour either. Does that mean there's nothing to eat if there's no Torah? That doesn't necessarily mean there's nothing to eat. There's plenty of people out there who eat who don't have Torah. But it means that the flower has no meaning, has no value. The material wealth has no value without the Torah. The Torah can't exist without the material wealth, but the material wealth has no value without the Torah. They have to work together. They're both important. Neither one can exist properly without the other. So the Torah says, take the table, which is a representation of material success, material sustenance. Put it in the holy. Put it in this room. Where should I put it? I'm not telling you yet, because I don't want you to know where to put it yet, because it doesn't have a place. It has a general place. It goes somewhere in the world, but where? You don't know yet, because you can't embed it anywhere until you have its sister. What is its sister? Okay. Take the menorah, put it across from the table. Okay, now you've got them corresponding to each other. They're working together. Oh, they're working together? Now you know where they go. The menorah goes in the south, the table goes in the north. But the way the Torah says it is, put the table first, but we don't know where. That's because if you don't have the table, if you don't have the table, you can't have the menorah. If you don't have the physical sustenance, you can't have Torah. So put the table in there. But it has no meaning without the menorah. Put the menorah across from it. Now it has meaning. Where do they go? The menorah goes in the south, table goes in the north. The Gemara says from here, Harotze lehachkim, if a person wants to become wise in Torah, yadrim, they should turn towards the south. Harotze lehashir, someone who would like to become wealthy, yatspin, should turn towards the north. What does that mean? That means that when davening Shmona Esrei, so we daven towards the east, because we are on the west, away from Israel, so we daven towards the east. So let's pretend this was east. It's not really good. I'm just using it on the board here. If I'm facing east, and I would like to become wise in Torah, so I should turn to the south. So what does that mean? I can't turn towards the south. The ark, the Torah is in front of me. I'm not going to turn this way. That would be disrespectful. So what I do is, if I want to become wise, I turn my head to the south as I'm praying. And if I would like wealth, turn towards the north. I turn my head to the north as I'm praying. Towards the south represents Torah. Towards the north represents the Shulchan, represents wealth. A person wants those things, they should angle themselves in that direction. Therefore, it says in Shulchan Aruch that which side of the ark would you like your rabbi to sit on? Right? Which side of the ark would you like him to sit on?
In the middle.
Well, you can't sit him in the middle because that's where the person who is leading is. So where is the rabbi going to sit? On the left side or the right side? So it says the Shulchan Aruch, you prefer to have your rabbi on the left side, facing the Aron, on the left side. Why on the left side? Because think about it. If I am standing on the left side of the Aron is here, I'm facing east, the Aron is here, I can turn my head to my right. That I can do. Now if I'm facing east and I turn to my right, I am turning towards the south. So your rabbi is going to be turning his head towards the Torah, which will make him wiser. Because you're not really interested in a wealthy rabbi, you're interested in a wise rabbi. But if you place him on the other side of the ark, on the right side, the ark is here, he can't turn his head to the right. That would be disrespectful to the Torah. He needs to turn to the left. If anything, either straight or to the left. Well, if he's turning to the left, he's facing east, he turns to the left, that's facing towards the north, that is an omen for a wealthy rabbi, which is fine if you want to save money on dues, but it's not fine if you want a rabbi who knows what he's talking about. So you want your rabbi on the left side of the ark.
So, but it'd be fundraising for a really big...
Yeah. But so you believe me, you don't want the rabbi to be the one to be... you want everybody else to be... You want the rabbi to be smart. That's what you want. You want a wise rabbi.
It's okay. Also a good time to remember Yisachar and Zevulun.
Yeah,
that connection.
Yeah, yes, they work together.
Raising it's the physical and the spiritual. It's so beautiful.
Yes.
It's like when you go title your dishes, it's...
Yes, you want to work. They have to work together. They got to work together. Yes. Okay, let's keep going. Make sure we finish before we run out of time. Then it says, Pasuk Lamed Vav, verse 36, V'yatsisa masach lefetzach ha'oel. Now you're going to make a screen for the opening of the OL of the tent. So now we're talking about right here. We're going to put up a screen as a privacy to delineate between the outside of the sanctuary and the inside of the sanctuary. So this one is going to look a little different. It would make sense that this particular screen is going to be a little bit downgraded from this curtain. This curtain is the special curtain that separates between the two. This screen, which is separating between the outside and the inside, is going to be less important. It's going to be less special. And so that'll be reflected in two ways, as we'll see. First of all, what is this made out of? It's made out of the same material as before. Tcheles, v'argamon, v'solas shani, v'sheish mashzar. That's blue wool, purple wool, red wool, and spun linen. But, ma'aseh rokeim. It is now going to be embroidered. It's going to be a little bit different. The way Rashi explains it is that when you weave it, you can make the two sides have a different picture. They don't need to have the same picture. When you embroider, then you're going to have the same picture on both sides, just a mirror image. It's going to show through on the other side. So it's a little bit inferior in its beauty when it is embroidered versus when it is woven. That's number one. That's one difference.
Rokeim is which one?
Rokeim is embroidered.
Okay.
Now, what's the second difference? Pasuk Lamed Zayin, verse 37. Yasis ala masach, you should make for this screen. You got to hang it on something. Chamisha mudei shitim, five pillars. That's a little different because the other one had four. This one has five. Okay, that's a curiosity. Vitzibiso, some zahav, you should plate them in gold, same as before. Vavehem zahav, the hooks are made of gold, same as before. Viatzak dalahem, you should
cast
for them. Chamisha adnei nechoshes, five sockets of copper. We've downgraded from silver sockets to copper sockets. And that is to emphasize how this screen is a little bit downgraded from the parochas, from the curtain. The curtain was a little bit more elevated than this screen. So we've kept the same material, but we have a different form of making it. We go from weaving to embroidering, number one. Number two, the sockets go down from being gold to being silver. I am acknowledging there's also a difference that the other one had four poles, this one has five. I'm not addressing that tonight, but that is definitely curiosity which should be addressed. Okay. We'll stop here for this week. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.